Gentlemen Prefer Blondes by Anita Loos. Chapter 1. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. March 16th. A gentleman friend and I were dining at the Ritz last evening, and he said that if I took a pencil and a paper and put down all of my thoughts, it would make a book. This almost made me smile, as what it would really make would be a whole row of encyclopedias. I mean, I seem to be thinking practically all of the time. I mean, it is my favorite recreation, and sometimes I sit for hours and do not seem to do anything else but think. So this gentleman said a girl with brains ought to do something else with them besides think. And he said he ought to know brains when he sees them, because he is in the Senate, and he spends quite a great deal of time in Washington, D.C., and when he comes into contact with brains, he always notices it. So it might have all blown over, but this morning he sent me a book. And so, when my maid brought it to me, I said to her, "Well, Lulu, here is another book, and we have not read half the ones we have got yet." But when I opened it, and saw that it was all a blank, I remembered what my gentleman acquaintance said, and so then I realized that it was a diary. So here I am, writing a book instead of reading one. But now it is the 16th of March, and of course it is too late to begin with January, but it does not matter, as my gentleman friend, Mr. Eisman, was in town practically all of January and February, and when he is in town, one day seems to be practically the same as the next day. I mean, Mr. Eisman is in the wholesale button profession in Chicago, and he is the gentleman who is known practically all over Chicago as Gus Eisman, the Button King, and he is the gentleman who is interested in educating me. So, of course, he is always coming down to New York to see how my brains have improved since the last time. But when Mr. Eisman is in New York, we always seem to do the same thing, and if I wrote down one day in my diary, all I would have to do would be to put quotation marks for all the other days. I mean, we always seem to have dinner at the Colony and see a show and go to the Trocadero, and then Mr. Eisman shows me to my apartment. So, of course, when a gentleman is interested in educating a girl, he likes to stay and talk about the topics of the day until quite late, so I am quite fatigued the next day, and I do not really get up until it is time to dress for dinner at the Colony. It would be strange if I turn out to be an authoress. I mean, at my home near Little Rock, Arkansas, my family all wanted me to do something about my music, because all my friends said I had talent, and they all kept after me about practicing. But some way, I never seemed to care so much about practicing. I mean, I simply could not sit for hours and hours at a time practicing just for the sake of a career. So one day I got quite temperamental and threw the old mandolin clear across the room, and I have really never touched it since. But writing is different because you do not have to learn or practice, and it is more temperamental because practicing seems to take all the temperament out of me. So now I really almost have to smile because I have just noticed that I have written clear across two pages onto March 18th. So this will do for today and tomorrow. And it just shows how temperamental I am when I get started. March 19th. Well, last evening Dorothy called up, and Dorothy said she has met a gentleman who gave himself an introduction to her in the lobby of the Ritz. So then they went to luncheon and tea and dinner, and then they went to a show, and then they went to the Trocadero. So Dorothy said his name was Lord Cooksley, but what she really calls him is Cuckoo. So Dorothy said, "Why don't you and I and Cuckoo go to the Follies tonight and bring Gus along if he is in town?" So then Dorothy and I had quite a little quarrel.